Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Everybody, this is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness, the straightforward real deal on sex and happiness and them going together. And that's the way it occurs for me. Hopefully, as a result of listening to the show, it occurs that way for you too. But what can I say? I don't know. But I hope this is expanding you. I hope that listening to the show expands you each week. And this is my second show of 2018, and today my guest and I are going to talk about seduction. Like, what does seduction mean, and what is that, and how do we get seduced by the idea of seduction, and are we addicted to seduction, and whatever we can unearth about seduction, we're gonna discuss today. Whatever we too can conjure up. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest. Her name is Sophia Sundari. And she's an international tantra teacher. She's an author, facilitator of trainings on mystical femininity and tantric and Taoist sexuality. I said Taoist wrong. It should be Taoist sexuality. I caught myself, so I'm making the correction. So when you see the word T-A-O-I-S-T and you want to say Taoist, it's really Taoist with a D. She believes that unashamed erotic freedom is our natural state of being, and she invites her students to explore this. So, Sophia, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori. Very happy to be here and very, very stoked about the subject because it's something that I am currently connecting with deeply, and I have lots of insights and just very interesting journey that I'm on with this.
Beautiful. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear that. Before we do that, though, I just want to have you say a little bit about how you got to here. You know, like, what was your wake up call? What told you, oh, I'm going to be dealing with human sexuality? When was it, and what was it? And, you know, did you try to resist it or anything? I love to hear my guests' stories.
Yeah, I'm happy to share with you. And there were a few really key moments that took me here, but I'm going to start kind of very far before today. First one was actually a moment when when my friend died. You know, I was living in Russia and I was just doing the normal things and, you know, just trying to figure out my life. I just completed my law degree and I was just in that free flow and also working as a lawyer. And then something happened and my friend died, and that was a big wake-up call for me. It was just something landed in that moment. I just realized that we are not immortal, that we need to do something about our lives, that there is a much better ways to access our potential than just, you know, confined to what is normally everyone is doing. Mm-hmm. So that was a big one for me. And after that, I already started like really questioning, what am I doing every day? How am I waking up? What kind of thoughts I'm having? What am I doing? What is my life looking like? Is it really what I want to be? Is it really what I want to do? So that happened. And then about a year after that, another big episode happened. And I was working as a lawyer and I was very successful and very young, you know, and just already kind of really achieving things and making good money, and but not happy, really. Not happy at all. Yeah. Like putting my pleasure last, you know, like really showing up with that nice face and wanting to please people, but not really thinking about whether I am happy.
Can I stop you for a second? I just need to say, I want everyone in 2018 who made a resolution to really hear and underscore what it is you're saying. Are you happy? Are you pleasing everybody? Or are you just, are you forgetting yourself? I just had to say that because this is such a key message. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure people can relate to this. This is something, you know, whether we are putting ourselves first or we're putting everyone else first. Mm-hmm. And I was, just sacrificing my pleasure. You know, I was actually in that state where I thought I'm running well. I thought I'm going in the, I'm on the right track. But in fact, I actually could not orgasm at the time. I was always wanting a relationship, but I would always end up just with kind of, you know, casual encounters, not really connecting deeply, and just things were just off. But I was in the midst of it, and I thought that that's how it is. Mm-hmm. Up until that moment when I walk into my office and I come back from another kind of adventure or something like this, I came a bit late to the office, but I come into the office and I see that my desk is empty, that there's nothing on my desk, that all my stuff is gone.
Oh, my God.
And in that moment, something drops in my belly. And I realized that actually I was fired. Without any notice, without any consideration about what's happening to me, what I'm going to do, I was just really like just fired like this. And I saw that I have two options there, that I could be thinking that I was fired, and I went actually quite low. I went quite like emotional and depressive, and I didn't know what to do with my life, and that was a phase. But then I also saw that I have a second option, so I could see that I was actually not fired, but I was free.
Yes.
And within that freedom, I started asking myself other questions again. I started asking, what do I actually want to do with this life? Where do I want to live? What do I want to do? Is it fulfilling my soul? Is it fulfilling my heart where I am right now? And no, the answers were very clear. And luckily, I got into personal development, you know, kind of connecting with the, you know, found some book on developing personal human potential. Then I realized that I have to leave. I have to leave and search for deeper parts of me, deeper meaning to life. And eventually I left and I ended up in India, and it was very transformative. And then I ended up in Thailand, actually where I am right now, on the island of Koh Phangan. And I found a tantric school here, just completely, like, you know, just I opened the possibilities of life, and then life started providing.
So
and I connected with this tantric field.
That is so good. Like, okay, so it took some, here's what it took. I mean, you studied, your life was aimed in one direction. You were doing just what was expected of you. Clearly you're smart. People don't just become lawyers if they don't have communication skills and they're not smart. And you know, they gave you an opportunity by letting you go. And you took the opportunity because you're smart and you went for something deeper. That's like, it's such a statement. Now, I just got to ask you this. I mean, this time when you were living in Russia, I mean, were you connected to your family? I mean, what did your family think? I mean, and what did your friends think? Like, did you have to face shame of being fired?
Yeah, of course. Like, my ego was destroyed in that moment. I was like, wow. Like, even, you know, even in the kind of just like in a, like, you know, like in a, in just like in terms of like intelligence, like, okay, I could have foreseen that. So I could have saved some money, you know, like in this kind of way, but I was not thinking about anything. I was just totally, you know, immersed in this life and thinking that that's how I have to roll around it. So I was not actually foreseeing, and that was making me shameful. And I was like, oh, okay. And I started looking for the same kind of work, and it was just not fitting me. Nothing felt right about it. So I'm so grateful that I could actually hear that. And yes, for my family, just when I left, at first they were like, oh, hey, girl, like, okay, just enjoy it for a few months. But then I ended up staying there for 5 years, actually, and not coming back to Russia, because that's what it took me to totally disidentify with that personality that I was carrying when I was in Russia. And you know, also being the daughter, being the good daughter, being a good worker, being a good student, you know, whatever identity that I was having there, I had to totally change my environment and disconnect from those ties and find myself.
Yeah, that takes, I think, you know, you were kind of kicked out of the nest, but I think it still takes tremendous courage to proceed the way you did and to, like, create and make it a whole new life. I don't know. I think everyone could do it. I just don't know if everyone's up to doing it. And hopefully they don't have to get fired or divorced or a death or whatever have to happen. But sometimes that's,
on one hand, on one hand, you know, it's courage. On one hand, it is courage. It does take a certain decision. But on the other hand, it's like I feel so low. And my low, of course, everyone's low is a different kind of low. But like I felt like I hit a rock bottom and I felt like I just didn't have a choice. I had to change things around. So it's like it was more like a surrender to like, okay, let's allow this to happen. And it was very clear, all the directions, all the decisions, they were just coming. You know, it was not even a choice, let's say.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So, okay, so then you developed this whole new life. I'm just leading into a break. We're going to take a break, but you developed a whole new life and you found a tantra school. I'm assuming you started studying and then and you really had a feel for it, because not just everybody could teach tantra. Like you have to have a feel for it. You have to feel like those depths of what you felt, you know?
But. Yeah. And that was like, it was a blessing because, you know, I was not just, you know, doing it from time to time, like a hobby, enjoying, exploring. I made it my life. You know, I started living here in the tantra community and just doing hours and hours of practice, of yoga, of, you know, really deep practices and looking at myself and like really letting those ego deaths happen and happen and happen and all those identities to drop and drop and drop. Until I found, you know, deeper meaning of who I am, of what is life.
Yeah, what's your purpose here? And and how are you going to play it out? How are you going to live it out? This is wonderful. Mm. All right, good. So we're going to take a short break here. I need to say one other thing. I need to introduce this into this segment, which is I'm actually an immortalist. I just have to tell you that. So I think that human beings, we're at a place now in our lives where we actually can live forever, that death doesn't have to be the most likely probability. And so I'm introducing that to you because I've never had this conversation with you before, but we are at a place where science is so advanced and artificial intelligence is so advanced. It is possible that we don't have to actually experience our own death. I don't know if that will happen for me. I just turned 70. But I'm in the best shape. I'm in great shape for this time in my life and whatever. And I'm going for it. So I just want to tell you there's another option.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, for me, what was important is that that it brought this awakening, that it brought this like, okay, if not now, when? You know, and it actually doesn't even matter, you know, what's going to happen physically. But it's just that moment of like, you know, I know that also Catholic monks in the mornings, instead of saying hello to each other, good morning, they say memento mori in Latin, which means remember death. You know, and it's just a beautiful way to live. I feel that, you know, it's like, okay, how can we make the most out of this moment?
Exactly.
Because there won't be another one like this.
Exactly. It's lurking and we have to really make the most of our lives or try to beat it. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to take a short break here. Today, I'm talking to Sophia Sundari. She is coming to us from Thailand. I, of course, am in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to get to it. We're going to talk about seduction. What does that mean to all of us? What does seduction mean? Do we have to be seduced? Do we want to seduce? Are we seductive? Do we use it? Whatever. I have all these questions, but she has some expertise in this, and so she's going to bring it to the table. So if you just tuned in, please keep listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and we're going to be taken right off into seduction when we come back from break. Sexual. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush.
and that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code ButterflyWorkshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. We're back with Sex and Happiness. Again, I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Sophia Sundari. And
Laurie, sorry. Yeah. The best way to spell my sound, my name is Sundari, not Sundari.
Oh, sorry, Sundari. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, I should have asked you that in advance. So thank you, Sundari. And what does that mean? Can you tell me?
It's a name of a goddess who is a goddess of this original desire of a human being and this, eroticism, this often erotic softness.
Wonderful.
And I have a very strong adoration and love for her, so that's why I'm using that name.
Great. Sundari, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Okay, so Sophia, tell us, how do we want to start with seduction, non-seduction? What is this all about?
Yes, so I want to say that the seductress or the seducer, yeah, we can say for men, that it's an archetype, really. It's a vital part of each of us. But then, as you were asking those questions, we need to look at it. Is this part of us? Is it in control of us, or we are controlling it? Are we in charge, or is it just a program that's running in the background? Another question, is our seductiveness, is it a source of our sexual shame? And we actually we don't want to know about it. We don't want to go there. We don't want to think about it. When we see seduction in others, we feel triggered, and we don't want to be around this person. We feel repelled. Or is our deep connection with our sexuality and our seductiveness is open, and we have no shame around it, and we use it, and then it becomes a blessing to the world in this open, unashamed sexual expression.
Well, I vote for number three.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a healthy, integrated seduction, which is really beautiful and juicy and yummy, and we need to develop actually it and enjoy it, because that's the thing that ultimately that seductress or the seducer inside of us is just the one who really enjoys life and sensuality and sexuality. But along the way, there are quite a few points that we can look at and see whether those patterns are unconscious, because wherever there is a darkness, wherever there is unconscious patterns, means we're giving up some of our power. So when we bring consciousness into those dark unconscious things, then we are empowering ourselves.
Beautiful. So here's what I want to say about this to you, that there was a time in my life when I was accused of being on the stage in front of 500 people, and I was only saying two sentences, and I was accused of seducing the entire 500 people in the audience. And I was like, I did not. What are you talking about? I said to the instructor who was guiding me then in this transformation. And he said, yeah, you did. And I said, no, I didn't. I was so humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed. And I could tell you that was back in the 90s, like 1993, 1994. I can tell you now, 2018, that if I look back on it, I was so unconscious about my seductiveness that, in fact, he was right. I had no handle on it. I didn't know what he was talking about. All I knew was that I wanted to, hide and run. And now I can openly say, and I wish I don't know where this person is, but I could say openly, I was throwing my seductive sexual energy out probably all the time without even my knowledge, without even knowing it. So, it was really a conundrum at the time for me. And I was so mad. I was pissed off. I felt, how dare this guy say that to me?
And it can feel repelling, because it's like when it's dark, like the dark phase of seduction, I feel it's just it's powered by need. There's this unconscious need to get attention, to get validation, to get something. So maybe that's something that was being picked upon there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no question I've always been a leader. So, I was standing on the stage in a leadership role, but I was using... the term in tennis, I was using more English on the ball than needed. And I wasn't aware that was the first moment that I became aware that I was pushing it. I was pushing that, and I was really unconscious to myself in an effort to seduce. And it's funny because now I can see it. I can see when people are seducing and they don't know, when they just can't help themselves. They're just doing it. It's like now I have a special sixth sense for it.
Oh my god, this is so sneaky, because sometimes even things that we are just genuinely something that really landed for me just recently, that part of us that really wants to show the best part of ourselves, that part of us which is just positive, beautiful, just really nice, and even that part that really sees the beauty of other people. This can be a seduction strategy, because you feel like you constantly need to, I have it actually quite strong naturally. I really see the beauty of people. Yeah, I see the beauty of people that I'm attracted to. And I see even things like the archetype, that really what is possible, what is not really quite there, but that potential. And I keep highlighting it for people. And I normally use a lot of words of appreciation, and people love to be in that space. And I know that they love it, and I know that it's actually quite irresistible. But it's a program that I'm running there, because I feel like that's how I seduce. That's how I, like, unconsciously, you know, that's how I get what I want, and what I want is people to like me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, that's so how you it's win. Like, that's how you win. Right? That's like your winning strategy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. So it's actually, you know, seduction is not necessarily only, you know, getting sexy and just, you know, like, there's also this kind of yin and yang type of seduction, you know, the active and the passive type of seduction. You know, one is like that active, when you really go for what you want and you like really like just show outwardly that your attraction for someone or for something, and you're like kind of like really, you have that penetrative energy to you, and like you really want to get what you want. Or there is that yin. You know, you create a space in you, and just the way you walk, even sometimes, you know, walking past people and not looking at them, you know, but with that, you know, it's sometimes it's obvious that it's a seduction strategy. Yeah, you really try hard not to look at them, and you really try hard to show how cool you are. But in fact, inside, you want connection, actually. You want, you know, but then there is, it becomes this actually quite unclean, quite kind of dark way to use the energy to get attention.
Yeah, it sounds like it's you're magnetizing and calling attention to yourself by not giving attention.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Yeah, it's all these strategies are amazing. And everybody has certain ones, because we all need love. We all want to be loved. We all want to be liked. We all want to be appreciated. And we've developed these things when we were little, because we, you know, either we had other brothers and sisters that we were competing with, or we had to, you know, be the best in school or whatever.
Yeah. It goes very deep, because the children, they also seduce. Like, you know, those children who are rebels and they're all in your face and they're, you know, creating drama. They want love, actually. They want to be seen and acknowledged. And that's their way to get love. And, you know, be seen. Or then there are other kids, like I was, you know, this quiet child that is so fine by herself, that loves to play with her toys by herself. And then everyone's like, wow, she's so different. Like, of course, it's, you know, they want to give me attention, you know. And what is, I mean, and it is, you know, on one hand, there's nothing wrong with it. You want to receive people's love. But on the other hand, it comes from that place oftentimes of not being complete ourselves, you know, needing that love, needing that validation from the outside, because we are actually not settled into our power. And, you know, we need, you know, from others, from the world, because we cannot give it to ourselves.
Yeah. But in fact, we can. Oh, that comes later. That comes after study.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's what we need to discover. That's, you know, from that, and that's what I'm discovering, because I went onto this, I made this project. I called it a relationship fast. So I decided to totally take a fast from relationships. I don't know until when. I didn't make an end date, but I'm in it currently. And it's amazing, because it's also kind of hand in hand with that came this non-seduction fast, where I'm really watching myself very carefully, where I'm seducing. It is very, very interesting to observe what exactly am I doing, how exactly I'm running those patterns, and that I know that every time it switches on, all those patterns, they switch on, when it's like I don't feel connected to my power. And when I am, you know, really managing to drop those patterns, it's like I'm coming from such a deeper place of me, you know, a place that's so complete inside, that doesn't need any external validation, but connects with people just from a place of joy, from the place of, you know, just enjoying other people, meeting other people deeply, but not running those patterns. Oh, I need you to like me. It's such a game changer, such a different way to reach and meet people.
It's so good what you're saying. It really is. I mean, over the years, I've come to that. Like, I really don't care if somebody likes me or doesn't like me. I don't care. You know, mostly people do, but some don't. And I don't care. They can walk away. It's like fine with me. I got enough. I have so much. And it's, but breaking those patterns was not easy. Exactly what you said. Like, I had to stalk them. I had to stalk them like a hunter and say, you know, where am I using my, especially my sexuality, but also just my, like, you know, laughter, my ability to, like, take over a crowd, take over a group, you know, lead everything. walk in and take over. Like, who wants to do that all the time? It's who appointed me, you know, to do that. And whatever yours is, like, who appointed you that you have to do that? Like, take a breath.
I also, a major program that's running there, especially in the seduction, when we speak about sexual seduction specifically, I discovered this actually very simple, very clear thing, which is called nothing but nature's programming. Yeah, where nature programs us. Nature wants us to procreate, right? Nature has the agenda. It wants us to go and connect with people sexually and procreate, and so that life goes on.
Right.
And also nature has a conditioning, like nature has a programming and agenda so that we fulfill it. Yeah, and then we realize that, it's not, it's not usually, not always in our interest. We not always want to procreate and, you know, go on this track. So it's something to become aware of, because as soon as for myself, like I noticed, as soon as I decided to drop the seduction games, it's like as if part of me goes like the nature part of me goes like, wow, what are you talking about? So what it means that maybe you will never ever mate with anyone again? Are you crazy? Like, you're not going to make babies or what? Like, you know, so that's really interesting as well, because it's like, this is not from the place from where I want to meet people again. Yeah, I want to meet people from that open, that, you know, that non, you know, feel of like, you know, just this open, that spaciousness. And nature is programming us. And then if you don't, you create a fear of missing out, you know, the FOMO. There it's like, oh, but what if I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not going to get a mate, and someone else going to get the perfect mate, and then they going to have their children with them, you know? It's like so primal, so animal, animal instincts running there.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm so glad you pointed that out. No, so I chose to never do that. I literally made a conscious choice to not do that and to not have that run me. And, you know, my parents were chagrined by that. They weren't very happy about it. But I just, and plus I did it at a time when it wasn't, there was nothing fashionable about it. You know, I just said, I'm not doing it. And I, you know, it could be one, I could say, I never met anybody I really wanted to procreate with. And that's, there's a partial truth to that. But on the other hand, I'm really glad I didn't. Like, I really didn't want to do that. I really did not want to be run by my biology. And so I didn't do it. And I know it's such a struggle. There's more to this. You know, there's smells and there's secretions and there's an inner driving force. There's unconsciousness. You know, when a woman is ovulating, there's a smell that she gives off that if she's in a nightclub, men she would never think to go home with, like under normal circumstances, she might go home with them because that biological imperative is like right there.
Exactly.
So, so are we addicted? You know, like, are we addicted to seduction, you know, or are we addicted until further notice, until we realize that there's all these strategies going on?
Yeah, when we want to be awake and conscious, like really fully taking responsibility for our life, I believe that an important part is to replace all the mechanical or automatic things that are happening, like you were describing with ovulation, and just, you know, with this, what I was speaking about before, was this nature programming us to seduce. So we want to replace those mechanical or automatic things into an act of will, into a choice, what we are really choosing to do it or not. And not just be run by unconscious patterns.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm always going to choose to wear lipstick. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that. I'm always going to wear lipstick. I'm always going to wear nice clothing. And that's part of that, you know, birds dancing with feathers and all that stuff. I wouldn't go out of the house. I don't care where I'm going. You know, I could run. To me, every opportunity is an opportunity to like set a leadership example or whatever. So I would never leave the house to go to the post office or to go to the grocery store or whatever, looking like I wouldn't want someone to meet me. I always want to look like I'm an enrollment. I'm an event to be reckoned with. I'm not trying to seduce, but I want to look good. So when people meet me, they go, yeah, she's congruent. She's who she says she is. And, you know, and I don't know how much of that is seduction either, but I wouldn't go out of the house without lipstick.
Well, I think you can make the choice because you've already looked at those things, and when you made them conscious, then you can choose to do whatever. You know, if you know that you can also come out of the house and totally have no lipstick and, you know, come out in pajamas and you'll be okay, but you choose to wear lipstick because you just enjoy it better.
Well, I went out today pajamas. I went out of my house today in pajamas to get the mail.
Right.
Because I'm not feeling well. And literally, I had to think about it. I literally had to go. I live on a cul-de-sac. I'm the last house all the way in, you know, and there's nobody really on either side of me. And I just was like, I'm going out to get the mail. I'm running. I'm going to run to the mailbox because I don't want anyone to see me in my pajamas in my bathroom. So funny that you say that, you know. Yeah, to me, that's not an enrollment event. You know, like, who wants to be in that life, you know, sick with pajamas on? Uh-uh. So it's good. This is a really good inquiry. We're gonna take another break here. And when we come back, this is what I'm going to ask you about. What can people do to start noticing and to start stalking themselves about this? Like the unconscious part when they don't really want to do it, but they're being run by it. Like, what can they do? How can they start to identify it? Obviously, you have and I have, but that's us. Let's give people some concrete ways to look at, you know, is your seduction running you or are you running it? And do you need it at all like that? So when we come back, let's look at that. Okay?
Yeah, great.
All right, wonderful. So this is Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm speaking with Sophia Sundari. And I'm saying her name correctly now because I'm a quick study. And I'm not seducing her to like me. But we're talking about seduction, and it's a subtle thing. It's obvious and it's subtle, and we might not have a hold of it. It might have a hold of us. So that's what we're going to take a look at in the next section. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with the Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135, and say Laurie Handlers told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. to order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hound CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Here we are again with Sex and Happiness, and really we want you to be sexy and happy. We just want you to know when it's running you and when you're in charge. Ideally, the space to be in, I think, what Sophia's saying, what I'm saying is like to be in charge of what you're doing, to be in charge of what you're saying, to be in charge of how you're being. So, Sophia, how do people start to like catch themselves in the act of seduction, beknownst or unbeknownst?
My suggestion is to, especially in those moments when you feel attraction for someone, this is a really good moment to stop, actually, to pause and to really tune in. You know, even though it might be, I know it like more than anyone, you know, perhaps because I really have very strong this pool of attraction. If I'm attracted to someone, I'm like really getting very deeply invested. And yet, you know, if you're like me or if you're a bit more cool with this, in any case, when you feel this attraction, you know, someone popping up in your field and you're like, oh, yeah, that feels good. So in that moment, I invite you to stop and pause, you know, take a break, you know, and really feel into your body, feel into your system, feel into what's going on, feel into how you want to interact. How are you coming to this person? Are you on purpose avoiding them and like, you know, waiting until they come to you, or you are on purpose, you know, going for them, you know? And so it's like to pause there and just become aware. And it's not that those things are wrong again, right? But it's about pausing and really becoming aware, and then seeing that step by step, you know, how you're engaging. Even when you're texting someone, yeah, it's like, are you ignoring the messages and you're like waiting and making them wait a little? That's another seduction strategy. Yeah, so they're a bit like waiting and they're a bit on the edge, you know, you don't give the full fullness of your presence because you are playing. You know, so just bringing attention to those little details and unpacking them and seeing how you can make it conscious. So I think that's a number one step, really.
That's beautiful. And then what would you, I noticed that I now communicate, I now have the freedom in my life to communicate that which I notice myself doing. So if I have a strong witness, you know, so if I notice, oh, I like this person and I'm avoiding, I'm likely to go over to the person and go, you know, I'm attracted to you and I noticed that I got a strategy running, like I'm trying to avoid you. And I just thought I'd tell you so it could be out in the open.
Yep. Yeah, that's really awesome.
You would approve
of that. That's the next step. Like, you know, if you want to really meet, because that's what we really want with other people. We just want connection. We just want to meet, you know? Mm-hmm. So, this is really beautiful. It's like, okay, you notice those patterns. So how can you just open, you know, to them and express it honestly? This is so beautiful. It's so simple. You know, it's so simple, so it's easy to overlook. You know, recently I noticed also I was at the dance and I noticed someone comes to me, but not quite, you know, they're kind of testing the waters or something. And then what I do, I notice this, and then I just turn towards them and make myself really available and just look directly into the eyes, you know, without waiting and feeling what is going to happen and how it's going to be, who's going to make the move. No, I'm just like, you know, dropping all these games and just being there fully available. And it really, I noticed that it kind of confuses people a little bit because you're like, oh, wow, you're not going to play the game? Like, we're all playing the game, come on.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm actually not going to play the game. I'm just going to show up. And of course, I'm not 100%, you know, always, it's not always easy to do that. It's like still, you know, some parts of me might be overtaking. But I've been really making it an experiment and really, really enjoying it, actually.
I think it's amazing. Because
I find that we meet from a deeper place in this case.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. I think it's great that you're having a fast on relationships and that you're actually just being who you are and noticing who you are in the moment. With no agenda. Like, it sounds like you don't have any goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're just like being and you're making yourself available. Like, you're kind of surrendering to, I'm here and mm-hmm. I'm solid inside myself and I'm not going to do anything except just be.
Yeah, that's my vision, really. But of course, it becomes a lot, 100 times harder when someone in the field who I am actually genuinely, really deeply attracted to and really having deep feelings towards. Then, wow, like all those unconscious patterns, they start kicking in, you know, like what I was talking about before was this, like, okay, how can I make them feel that I really enjoy them? Even this is a seduction strategy.
Yeah.
Because I know that it's going to make me very likable and I do want to be in the field of this person, but there's a little bit of anxiety that just if I show up just the way I am without any subtle, I know, wanting to make them feel anything. If I should just show up like I am, maybe I'm not likable. There's this fear, there's this real vulnerability and rawness in that fear. And it is really challenging to hold it. And yet it is really rewarding and really deep. Just it's like becomes a really deep inner work. Like, okay, wow, so there is a part of me that still feels that I'm unlikable. I'm unlovable. So, okay, I can sit with that part and hold this part and nourish that part and heal it.
That's so good. You know, you reminded me, I had an occasion last spring when someone that I'm really attracted to was going to be somewhere that I was. And when we were in that same space, I didn't feel like he was really even giving me the time of day. I mean, he was throwing some bones, but he wasn't really, you know, there were many, many bright and shiny people competing for his attention. And I said, I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm doing that. So I didn't. And I was a little bit annoyed about it later on. And recently we had a call because we were planning something together. And he said, well, how did you feel? You know, let's get complete about the last time we were in the same space together. And I've never said this in my whole life, but I said, you know, I was jealous. And I was pissed. I feel like you made overtures to want to spend time with me. And I went there thoroughly expecting to spend some quality time with you, knowing full well that there would be other people, you know, who wanted and demanded your attention. But I got zero. I said, and I need you to know that I rarely admit or even feel jealousy. And I felt jealous. And I just need you to know that. And I'm not like a big jealous person. So my admitting that made me so vulnerable, and it was so speaking my truth. And he just melted, and he said, wow, I'm so sorry you felt like that. You know, and we didn't make an agreement to do anything about it. There's nothing to be done, you know what I mean? I don't want him to try and make it up to me, and I don't want to pursue something that's made up. I just had to say it. And it just opened up a new opening, like a new possibility by being honest about that. And I couldn't believe it was coming out of my mouth.
Very beautiful. So beautiful. Because it's like you're saying, it's like it's not about resolving it or making you feel better or making him feel better or whatever, but it's just voicing it. That's where we access what it means to be a human.
Yeah.
You know, this is where we access the true meaning of life, where we just show up in rawness and vulnerability, you know, as much as we possibly can, you know, hopefully moment by moment, where we just really start living fully and feeling the jealousy and all. It's just all part of human existence.
Right.
And it all changes all the time anyway, but this capacity, the willingness to live each moment fully and allow ourselves to be human, it's so beautiful.
Yeah. It felt really good. So let's, before I ask you how people can get in touch with you, let's see if there's anything we have not covered. Because I think the way I'm looking at it is I feel like we covered some very sweet ground. We covered it could be hidden to most people, but you helped to make it obvious to me and you and them that there's something going on here, especially with the biological imperative, and then also just this need to be liked, loved, seen, whatever. So is there anything you want to leave people with before I tell them how to get in touch with you? Like something we might have left out, like some way to look.
Yes.
good.
Two things, actually. One thing is that, you know, to drop those unconscious patterns running, we actually need to really learn to give that which we want to ourselves. You know, to if we want to be touched, we need to learn to find ways to be touched, you know, create environments or go to environments where you experience touch. Because very often we just want to be touched, you know, then our good hormones, like oxytocin, gets activated and that makes us, you know, feel better about ourselves. And then just, you know, having the time, like, it's really coming back to self-love and giving yourself that which you want to get from others.
Yes.
So this is number one thing. And then the other thing, which I really want to address and end perhaps with, is that the deepest and truest seduction is nothing but life, desiring life. You know, it's like it's this power of our sexuality, you know, that what we want to attract, what we are actually desiring deeply, 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 no matter what it looks like on the surface, no matter what we desire, attention or another person or being seen or whatever, all of those desires, they actually can be sourced to that original desire to be one with everything, to be one with our true self, to be one with the universe, to be in that connection. You know, to let life feel, you know, to let that life feel deeper, to let ourselves feel life in a deeper way. So I feel like that's ultimately beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, that's when we can see the depth of it. And yet, of course, when we make it less unconscious, when we bring light into those dark areas, then we become closer and closer to the true meaning of seduction.
Yes.
And then we can, you know, just really open up to life through all that there is, all the ways in which we can fill ourselves up with life, with desire, with joy, with love, with pleasure.
That is so good. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, because the opening of life, wanting to live life, life opening to itself, it's like the dance. I always look at life as an invitation. Like there's a million things going on and they all want our attention. Everything. People and things. Televisions and computers and Facebook and every kind of thing wants us. And we want it. And what invitation are we going to take up? And what invitation are we going to leave? Sorry, not playing, not going, not this time, not whatever. How are we going to decipher that which is really for and in favor of us? And that which, like, not so much, you know, that's so good. That's so, so good. Really, what a way to start this year. It's a great inquiry into what do you want? Whoever's listening out there, like, what do you want? And how are you going to break some patterns that are just, you just do them like knee-jerk reactions and you can't help yourself and biologist is doing them and it can't help itself. And like, what do you want inside of all that?
Yeah.
So good. So good. All right, Sophia, how can people get in touch with you? You're in Thailand, but I know you must be able to Skype with people.
I'm traveling all the time, actually. I'm a real location-free being. So I'm moving around the world a lot. So I might be somewhere close to you, or you might want to come where I am, because I'm always in the really beautiful spots in the world. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my website, also from Facebook and on Instagram. So my website is sofiasundari.com, and there you can see what I'm up to, what I'm offering. You can connect with my, like, become part of my tribe by joining in the list that I'm sending. Like, I'm sending emails every week with lots of value. You can also download my free books. I have a free ebook called Your Orgasmic Guide. For example, I'm guiding people into how to create those big full body orgasms, how to open our being more to more capacity of life, and a few other free offerings. I write lots of articles. So yeah, I'd love to have you in my tribe and connect and see if that resonates with you. And if you are getting value, you're super welcome to be part of the tribe.
That's beautiful. Let's spell it, okay? Because I might be able to spell Sundari, but somebody else may not. So let's spell it. Mm-hmm. Also, Americans spell Sophia differently than
Americans. Yes, exactly. So we go S-O-F-I-A. And my last name goes Sundari, S-U-N-D-R-I. So you will go on sofiasundari.com. That's the website. And if you want to connect on Facebook, on Instagram, you just search Sofia Sundari.
Okay, beautiful. Sofia, thank you so much for being my guest today. I'm thrilled. I don't feel very well, but this was an uplifting conversation. It took me into the zone. And I love talking to you. I love your sweetness. I love your femininity. I love your, soft. It's, I'm drawn to you, and you weren't seducing me.
No, thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation as well. Thank you so much for noticing, because you noticed my relationship fast, I think, with some posts I've been making about it. And you felt me and invited me. So I'm very honored and grateful for that. And very, very glad we got to connect in this way.
Me too.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. So tune in next time when I will have another amazing guest for you. I'm not quite sure who it is right now, but you know that this is adding to your sex and your happiness. And the conversation we had today, don't take it too lightly. You know, take everything lightly, but take something to heart about this. Look to see where something's running you, where you're not in charge, and see if you can start to put a spotlight on it so that you actually can get closer to the real you and what you really want. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Sofia.
Thank you, Laurie.
Yeah, this is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.